Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way, episode 186. Today we're talking about DECA and testosterone for bulking, tips, tricks by Europharma. So this is going to be a really good one. We're going to go over some fun topics. Mobster is really chomping at the bit to get into the first one, which is bulking more fun than cutting? We're also going to talk about training and diet for bulking while on steroids. That is very, very, very important. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Why DECA and testosterone work so well for bulking. We're talking about stacking and dosing and why Europharma is a great source. But first, let me remind everyone, we are on Apple, we are on Spotify. We are spreading the podcast as much as we can on different platforms. We're on many, many platforms. So wherever you're listening to us on, make sure you check out those other platforms as well. I like to listen to the podcast. I like to listen to myself talk when I'm driving in the car. So I'll pull up my Spotify, I'll pull up my YouTube, I'll pull up my Apple in my car and listen to the podcast that way. Or you can go to evolution.org, of course, and check out the forums and listen to the podcast on there. But it is important for all of you to make sure that you support the algorithms. The algorithms hate our podcast. We talk about a lot of underground stuff. They don't want anything to do with our podcast. So it's up to you to be liking, subscribing, hitting, commenting, and doing all that stuff, giving us a review so that the algorithms will pick us up. Mobster, anything you want to add to that?
Yes, guys, look, we are literally covering the show's information that you want to hear. We look for these questions, we evaluate what's best, and we put the information out for you. And we need, as Steve says, your support to trick the algorithm into showing as many people as possible the best information that we think's out there and available for you to listen to.
Just getting to the first topic, is bulking more fun than cutting? Mobster, start us off.
Right, Steve. As anybody, and I'm going to include myself, God help me, because it's not a regular feature of my training lifestyle. I'm way more of a strength athlete. But as anybody that's ever dieted, Steve, or specifically, and I'm not just being dieted because you're overweight and you want to get, you know, less heavy. But when you cut, trying to cut, Steve, when you're trying to get lean and you want to see those abs pop in, there's a grind. There's an element of, and I literally just read a thread this morning, and one of the posts in the thread this morning, Steve, was, I'm just at that part now in the cut where the deficit, I think they use, is just starting to bite. It's just starting to get hold. My own experience, because it's easiest thing for me to talk from my own experience, is literally doing that third bunch of steps at the end of the day, Steve, going without the little treats. And having, even now, if I'm between meals, you know, small breakfast, small lunch, heavy duty evening meal, that's the way that I eat. And I'm out there and I've done the gym in the morning, I'm out in the afternoon, I get that kind of sort of small energy drop. I'm still able to function, I still get my shit done, but that is what's kind of all the fucking time. Anybody that's done, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning cardio, Steve, before the goddamn day's even started, whether at work or college or whatever else, anybody that's gone from 4,000 calories a day or whatever the fuck you're doing, and now you're doing 1,800 calories a day, there is a point during that process when it bites you on the ass, and it's a necessity. It needs to be done. Bulking has got to be a lot easier. You're arguably eating another 500-600 or even 1,000 calories more. If you've already cut and now you've gone into a bulk, the pleasure comes back. I think there's an argument, especially when it comes to eating clean, and there's little tricks you can do when you're cutting again, but there's a certain amount of pleasure that comes back from being able to put that much more food away. And I'm not even talking about dirty bulking, Steve. I'm just talking about clean bulking. So just the idea, I would argue also, here's the thing, right? Visually, when you cut, especially for the majority of our listeners, when you are unclothed, you in your trunks or your shorts, whatever, you're posing at the gym, you're in the beach, in your swimming trunks, whatever, that's when people see your cut. But when you're bulking, especially if you're a bigger person to begin with, every motherfucker knows you're the size of the house. And they've seen you put on weight. People notice that difference. So there's an argument to be made for and against. But listen, right? Both of these, whether it's bulking as we discussed them today, or cutting as we've discussed on other shows, and no doubt we'll discuss in the future, are part of the whole process that we do when it comes to going to the gym. There will be, and I think I'm going to reply to this, and I said this to Steve in a pre-show. When it comes to bulking, think of a big percentage of our listeners, Steve, will be younger men who want to get bigger, who want to have bigger muscles, bigger arms, bigger legs, bigger chest. They want to impress their bros. They want to get the girls. They want to fill out their clothing. And the idea literally of being bigger, and we're going to call it bulking, to get bigger, is something that I would argue they enjoy. I'll ask you a question, Steve, because we know physically the difference between mine and your stature and whatever else. But there would have been a time in the process that you took, especially at the beginning of when you trained, of when you got bigger, literally when you started to fill out and people started to see your muscles popping. But I'm thinking especially when your chest got bigger, your shoulders got bigger, when your arms got bigger. What did that feel like? And what was the kind of vibe that came through that?
So when I first got into weight training, it was Olympic style weight training, competitive weight training. I went away from that, and then I kind of got out of shape for a couple years. Then I got back into shape, went back to running, became an endurance athlete for a few years. And then from there, injuries, you know, really bit me. So I was like, then you know what, let me just go back. They had just opened up a new gym near me. So I was like, let me go back to my roots, which is weight training. And I found it more enjoyable to go weight train than go train for endurance. Training for endurance really wears the shit out of your legs and feet. And it, you know, dehydrates you and you're sweating like crazy. Going to an air-conditioned gym and lifting weights was a hell of a lot easier. But anyway, long story short, I went from, you know, I had just moved to a place where I was an endurance athlete, a new town. So people in that town knew me as the lean, ripped, you know, 8-pack runner, Steve. Then when I started weight training again and I got on steroids, you know, in my late 20s, I really bulked up quick. And one of the great steroids that I was using to bulk up are the DECA and testosterone that we're going to talk about on this podcast. And over the course of two cycles, which was almost a year, I put on probably between 25 and 30 pounds. Not probably, I did. I put on 25. So a lot of people, they would run into me. A lot of my old running buddies that I used to train with, you know, and do triathlons with, they'd run into me like, Steve, oh my God, you know, you got huge. You know, what the hell's going on here? They were really just taken aback by it. And like you said, Mobster, I can remember women, you know, like when I was a lean runner, the only way I could impress them with my muscles was, like you said, not having my shirt on, being at the beach. But wearing a shirt or a sweater, you're not going to be able to tell someone's muscular. But after the bulk, I did. So if you're someone who suffers from, you know, tiny man syndrome your whole life, you've been a skinny guy your whole life, like I was, it's nice to, you know, like you said, Mobster, it's nice to have that change up and find, you know, be big. And people, you know, they recognize that, like you said. So that is the different psychological effects of it. So one of the things too.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve, no. I've just reminded very quickly, many years ago, my first job was working in an office. I weighed 175 pounds by the time I finished it. So I'm going to say I was about 160 something pounds. And I had my first holiday after nearly 2 years of working there, first 2 week holiday, went away and I ate some weight gain products, which was not the best idea. I had an extra meal per day and I trained every other day for the 14 days, so seven times. And I came back, as you just said with the women, 11 pounds fucking heavier in 2 weeks. And this was when I was between 16, 17, 18 years of age. And two or three of the ladies in the office were blown the fuck away by my shirt fitting differently, my trousers fitting differently, and they'd literally transformed my look. So absolutely agreeing with Steve. And this was, I was no giant. I finished that job at 175 pounds, but I gained 11 pounds in those 2 weeks, and I literally transformed. People will see you 2 weeks ago, you weigh 160 something pounds and you come back and weigh 170 something pounds. Like, what the fuck has happened? This is no steroids. It's just training and eating more calories, and especially making sure that the majority of those calories, where I could, came from protein. And that was it. The rest of it was the free square meals a day that my mum was providing. But yeah, back to you, Steve.
I think in your 20s, you have to kind of experience different things like I did. I'm very blessed that I was able to experience going, being super lean, being out of shape, being an endurance athlete, being a power lifter, and switching to, more bulking. And then in my 30s, I kind of went more towards strength training and being big, but also staying lean, not just like dirty bulking. So that's another thing that we have to discuss too in this podcast on the next topic about training and diet, because it's very important not to dirty bulk. And that's something that I kind of want to get into now. So there was a guy, he was a fitness influencer. You probably know who I'm talking about, Mobster. His name was Jason Genova. Do you recognize that guy?
Yes, I know who you are. Yeah,
So
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a famous video. And I've run into him a couple times, by the way, because he lives near me, or he lived near me where I lived previously, and I would see him around town. And he was, online. I think his online persona was very different in person, as it is on with most of these fitness influencers. But he has a famous video where he goes to a buffet, and he goes into the buffet and he's eating like four or five plates of food. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. He's eating chocolate. He's eating just everything that's unhealthy in the place, and he calls it dirty bulking. He's like, I want to gain, 8 pounds on this meal or 10 pounds on this meal. Just a funny video, but that is reality. A lot of people who suffer from, bigorexia, small man syndrome, and something, they think that, hey, I'm gonna go on DECA and testosterone. And let me just dirty bulk and eat whatever I want and gain as much weight as I can. But in reality, you're causing a lot of damage in the body. You're clogging up your arteries. You're causing your insulin resistance to rise. There's a lot of damage, metabolic damage, that you're going to be doing to your body doing the whole if it fits your macros things. Well, I'm going to go and try to eat 6,000 calories. If it takes me eating chocolate, that's 99% sugar or whatever, from a buffet, or eating sloppy food that they fried and oils and these seed oils and these refined oils. Or if I'm at a restaurant, I'm gonna eat tons of pots of pizza, eating tons of pizza, mobster, like slices of pizza. It's just so bad for you. It's American fast food in a buffet setting. And look, at the end of the day, even going to one of those places once a week or once a month is gonna be absolutely murder on your physique. So that would be a classic example of the not the right way to ball. Go ahead, you
Yeah.
wanted to jump in?
So here's the thing, just historically, and Steve and I referred in a show that we just recorded yesterday, we were discussing the Golden Age. And part of the problem from, especially we're talking about 1960, 1970, and specifically 75 yesterday in the show, was that the bulking in those days was arguably, I wouldn't say dirty bulking per se, Steve, but the look was not good. We would call it in modern vernacular, you were smooth as fuck. You would not pose in the off season. And we still occasionally see people that do that. As an example, right now, the Samson Duelder is looking quite muscular at 330 pounds. There are veins, there is shape, there is definition. It's not competition shape and not competition definition. But back in the day, and this comes off the back of the dirty bulking thing that Steve's referred to. People would get out of shape. They would be strong as fuck, pushing the big weights in the gym, and we're going to touch upon training. But you wasn't seeing a six pack. And the problem was, as eventually, as fun as that might be to walk around the size of a fucking house, et cetera, and be physically taking up that much more room and the whole bigorexia thing, like Steve says, the reality is, especially if you compete, and especially if you like to be in shape in the summer months. The dirty bulking, and specifically that kind of old school bulking thing, was an issue because you just had that much more fat and superfluous water and God knows what else to get rid of when it come to getting into shape. Now, there is a bit of an issue insofar as that some people And it's almost the reverse of bigorexia, Steve. They get so hung up on having an abs set of abs and obliques, and so up on being able to see the serratus and maybe an inner thigh definition or whatever else. And I've seen this a little bit where I've actually said on the forum, Steve, a couple of times, I call it yo-yo dieting. The moment they get a tiny bit out of shape, they freak the f I can't see my abs, I can't see my abs. I better do a mini cut. So they'll go on a diet for 4 weeks. Oh man, God, I'm losing my size. I've got. Listen, you need to be slightly okay, a lot slightly. You need to be okay with being a little bit out of shape. If you're walking around with veins on your abs, you're not going to have veins on your abs even during a lean bulk, but you should still be able to see maybe the top set. You should still be in a darn sight more better shape than the average man on the street. And you need almost to be comfortable with that. And there's a reason for that. There's a whole sort of protein sparing thing that comes into it. The bulk in terms of specifically the training is going to allow you to leverage, to allow you to bench more and press more and squat more. And you need to move bigger weights to get bigger muscles or the same weights for more volume, but the
So
combination thereof is obviously
let me
different
just
salts.
interrupt you. Let me interrupt you and finish out on the diet, and then I want you to get into training for bulk. I'll talk a little bit about training as well that I was doing when I was doing my bulk. But when it comes to food, a lot of people, they want to know, what can I do? What can I do to fix food? I get that question a lot because they just don't understand how you're supposed to eat properly, even in a bulk. And what I tell them is food prep is crucial. Okay, food prep is crucial. Knowing what you're putting in your food is crucial. Food quality is crucial. Know the difference between low quality chicken and high quality chicken. Know the difference between low quality beef and grass-fed beef. Know the difference between organic produce and non-organic produce. These things make a difference because what happens is if you put pesticides in your system, you are nuking your immune system, you're stressing your body out. So why would you consume a fruit or vegetable that was sprayed with pesticide? It doesn't make any fucking sense. These are simple things you could change. Chicken, same thing. High quality chicken, it's what they feed the chicken. Eggs, it's what they feed the chicken when the chicken lays the eggs. Are they feeding the chicken low quality diet or a high quality diet, a natural diet? It makes a difference. Low quality chicken has polyunsaturated fat. Guess what? It clogs up your arteries. Go talk to a cardiologist. Isn't me just pulling shit out of my ass? Low quality chicken will clog up your arteries and it's going to have a long-term effect, especially when you're combining it with steroids. So you have to spend the extra money, educate yourself a little more, and make sure that you're getting good quality foods in your body. That is going to be the difference when it comes to how healthy you do and how good results you get, not just in the short run, but the long term. Yes, you can be like that example before and go to the all-you-can-eat buffet and run testosterone DECA and have a crazy appetite because that's what's going to happen when you run testosterone DECA. Your appetite's going to go up. Now, the question is, what do you do with that? Do you use that high appetite to put poor quality fuel, or do you use that big appetite to put high quality fuel? And that's very important. Know the difference, and this is my final point. Know the difference between healthy fats and unhealthy fats. Know the difference between a healthy carb and an unhealthy carb. Same thing with protein. Know the difference between a healthy protein and an unhealthy protein. Let me give you a quick examples before I let you in, Mobster. I know you want to get in. Healthy fats. Avocado, boom, healthy fat. Unhealthy fat, refined oils, which are found in every fast food restaurant out there, every single one. Healthy carbs, sweet potatoes, fruits, vegetables, unhealthy carbs, cake, ice cream, cookies, all this other shit that the typical American eats. Protein, healthy proteins, good quality cuts of meat, grass-fed beef, high quality chicken, high quality eggs, pasture-raised, humane family stamp. You should always look for that on a carton of eggs. In America, that will tell you if it's good quality eggs. Low quality proteins, bacon, cold cuts that are full of sulfates, low quality chicken, low quality beef. Okay, that's grain finished. No good, no good, no good. Talk to any cardiologist. They say absolutely makes a difference in their clients when they switch the quality of the meats they're getting. Pay that extra $1 or $2 a pound for quality beef. The 90/10 grass-fed beef is much better than the cheap Walmart beef. All right, it makes a difference. So know the differences between these guys. It's not just about counting your macros and counting your calories. It's actually about knowing the differences between these foods and how they react in your body and make your body metabolically sick or metabolically healthy. It's really up to you. Go ahead, Monster.
Yeah, so one of the things I said to Steve in the pre-show, and I'll touch upon this now, is the hard gain now that the person that struggles to put on weight, and especially so without steroids. Obviously, we're going to talk about bulking with steroids, of course, subject to the show. So, conversation with a young Asian lad I've been talking to in the gym and spotting me on bench press yesterday, et cetera, was the, my arms have gone to this size and so on and so forth. This is from his side. And how can I get bigger? And I said, why don't you just add one healthy meal? One meal. So if you're having 3 meals a day, your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner, add what amounts to a small meal. And I'm literally, I've done this myself back in the day, Steve, literally having scrambled eggs on toast. That wasn't a snack. That was another 400 or 500 calories of high protein. You can do something similar. I think I did one when I was talking to Paul Borison, where you had a 4 ounce piece of steak and 3 boiled eggs as your last meal of the day. If you're going to go to bed at 10, 11, not the best thing, having that much food in your gut, but a very high protein and protein dense meal and relatively small, probably about 700, 800 calories at the most, less, I think. And this is going to work in the dunks with the training that you're doing, which was crazy drop sets and shit. So you're really stimulating muscle fibers. So one of the problems that can sometimes happens with those guys is there's an argument to be made for what we call nutrient dense. Like Steve said, high quality food versus rubbish, and making sure that every portion of food that goes into your mouth is functional. And then think again every single time that you're eating, this is going to make me grow. This is going to make me get bigger, because it can be for some people, Steve, as we know, kind of difficult almost for the underweight to put extra food away. They kind of underestimate what they're doing. I will absolutely agree with Steve in terms of the food quality. That is with no doubt whatsoever. And something else that Steve said, and this is almost like a sort of, we've seen this work again and again and again. And Steve mentioned it earlier on, and that is meal prepping. I've talked to people that have busy work, busy lifestyle, they're hands-on, they're blue collar, like Steve's described on other shows. That's the background that Steve and I have come from. We might be white collar, we wouldn't do this show, but that's the background that we've come from in terms of hands-on actual work, et cetera. And sometimes in those situations, the places, the Australians that we have on the forum, Steve, that do the fly in, fly out jobs, and the places they go to are the middle of nowhere. They're doing heavy duty construction, heavy duty quarry work, etc. And the food is shit. And the only, and we've got, even in this country, the guys that work on the electrical infrastructure, the national electrical infrastructure, the railways, etc. If they're on site for more than a week, they get meal prep companies to deliver food to that site. Because the food at their digs, at the hotels, at the bed and breakfast places is shit. It's not going to be the high quality stuff that they want to maintain their size while they're away working and making the big bucks. And the moment they come back, like the Aussies, hit the gym hard and build up some new muscle and so on. So the greatest success that we've seen again and again, whether that's cutting and getting into competition shape, looking good for a modeling gig or whatever, or whether it's literally adding more muscle to your frame, is meal prep, meal prep, meal prep. And how easy is it, Steve, if you've meal prepped free food quality tubs of food, and you add one more of these tubs per day to your meal, literally another 600, 700 calories on top of whatever 2,800, 3,000 calories that you're getting, and a couple of healthy drinks, and you, it's just so fucking easy. You haven't got to think about it. You haven't got to go and cook it in the middle of the day. You haven't got to go hunting around for a cafe or some sort of healthy place that sells this kind of food. You haven't even got, like I've just described, to get it fucking delivered. So yeah, meal prepping and having the food there and having no excuse not to eat the kind of food that's going to add muscle to your frame is absolutely super, super important. But definitely come onto the forums to look at some of the information on that. Training. You will not get bigger, more muscular, and you will not bulk if you're not training better or more efficiently than you was before. You cannot do the same as you've already been doing and just add a bit of food unless you was desperately not getting enough food in and expect to bulk. So all things being equal, you need to be, I'm going to use the word efficient, and we'll describe that in a minute in terms of the choices that you're making with your lifts. But you need to be doing stuff that stimulates the most muscle and forces your body to grow. and it does not come from doing what you already did. There is literally a phrase, if you do what you've already done before, do not expect the outcome to be different. So what if you are benching 200 pounds and you eat slightly more food than you was before with the idea of adding a little bit more muscle, i.e. bulking up, and you still only bench 200 pounds for the same sets, reps, volume, etc., and everything else stays the same, you won't get stronger. But if you bench 205 or 210 and you hit the same kind of reps and sets, numbers that you were doing before, your body has to get bigger. Quarter of an inch, eighth of an inch, and so on. Pound here, pound there, and over time. So then we talk about what we call the compounds, the big fucking lifts. One of Steve's favorite ones, and I'm actually kind of into this a little bit myself now, is the pull-up, the chin. Call it whatever you fucking like, where you are using your arms and your back, you're even keeping your core tight and so on, just pulling yourself up over the bar. If you can do sets of 12 with body weight, and I don't care what you fucking weigh, you're already in a good percentage. Squat, leg press, deadlift, hammer curls, heavy fucking, little bit of cheating. And I mean a little bit of cheating, slightly looser form, pressing overhead. Now, some of you might prefer machines, some of you might prefer dumbbells, some of you might prefer barbells. But all things being equal, the big exercises are ones that fatigue the whole of your fucking body. If I don't do standing press, Steve, if I do it, my back aches like a bitch. But I do very heavy, relative to other people's, seated high shoulder, high inclined shoulder press. And I'm pressing at my best. I think my absolute best is 300 pounds plus. I rep with somewhere between 220 and 240 pounds. And that is a weight of a big man above my head, four reps. Ergo, I should have big shoulders, big chest, big arms. Ergo, I should be bulking. And if I can do that for the same sets and reps of whatever the fuck I was doing before with 5 or 10 pounds, then my arms, my shoulders, I think should get bigger. The problem is this. It's hard. It's hard to do those heavy exercises. It's hard to put up 5 or 10 pounds than before. But the reality of the situation is this is a journey that we chose. So we chose to get bigger. We chose, therefore, to get, because we need to get bigger, that's what we decided. We need, therefore, to get stronger, or we need to be doing slightly more weight for the same sets and reps, et cetera, volume, whatever the fuck it was that we'll be doing before. That might only be another 5 pounds on the bar, Steve, another 2.5 pounds aside on a machine, another plate down on the weight stack. But that was what's going to get you bigger. And the true bulking, arguably, Steve, properly, as it used to be, but without the shitty diets, I would argue, Steve, is no fluff. So what we might do as a bodybuilding routine, and the majority of our listeners are bodybuilders, we might do some sort of side lateral exercise of the machine or with dumbbells. We might do some sort of rear delt as well as front delt exercises. Fuck that. I would strip that shit right away. And I would have you go, especially if you're a hard gainer, I would just have you press. I wouldn't be doing multiple different exercises for all different free heads of the delts. I'd do one or two that hit all three heads. And I would do them hard and heavy with good enough volume. Same thing for the bench. I might, the bench, especially if I was a bodybuilder, do two fucking exercises. Some kind of fly, which I can alternate between one and another, session to session, and some kind of bench, whether that's incline, flat, decline, dumbbell, barbell, or machine. And I would do them hard and heavy. I wouldn't want to. If I train properly, especially on this kind of situation, Steve, shouldn't want to do 8 exercises. I shouldn't want to do 40 sets. Now, listen, guys. If you are a competitive bodybuilder and you're approaching a competition, you absolutely need to fill in the gaps. You absolutely have to have a well-rounded physique. But we're not discussing that today. We're discussing getting bigger, bulking. And bulking is K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Don't fuck about. Don't put any fluff in there. You're not looking to make your bicep peak that much bigger. You're just making your arm as big as a fucking house. Your chest the same size as a barrel. You try to keep your waist tight. Quads that fill out your fucking trousers. And that shit comes from the heavy ass training. Talk a little bit about your training experience, Steve, when it comes to bulking.
I think that's a big reason why a lot of guys, especially the older guys, much prefer to just, you know, power lift and focus on size and bulking. Because like you said, it's simple. And you can pretty much focus on specific exercises every time you go to the gym. It's not like a regular training split. You're doing a 5-day training split, which, an aesthetic bodybuilder is going to try to do. And you're going to go in there and you're going to do different rep ranges, all 8 rep range. Well, that might be a little low. I probably should go 10, 12, 15, hey, 20 rep range. I got to get up. I got to do drop sets. I got to reverse the order of my exercises. I got to switch the angles. I got to do the abductors and then I got to do the adductors and I got to do hamstring curls and then I got to do hams, the quad extensions. I got to balance out my legs. I got to focus in on the different balancing on my legs and in my calves and in my upper body. So it gets complicated. I can understand why, Mobster, a lot of you guys like the whole powerlifting thing because it's simpler. Like you said, you can go on there and focus. We have a guy on the forum. His name is Corn Gromwell. I think he's a British guy too, or Scottish guy, and he keeps his workout so fucking simple. He does heavy ass weights. He keeps his rep ranges, anywhere from 1 to I think 6, maybe 8 max. I mean, it's a simple workout. It doesn't take, it doesn't take much thinking to it, and it's very simple and it works. It makes you stronger. And I think the approach of focusing on strength is smart when it comes to bulking because, like you said, if you're going to get stronger, of course, your body is going to want to grow and you're going to want to bulk and put on mass. It makes a lot of sense. And then you could eat a nice big meal afterwards, a good healthy meal that you prep food prep on your own, by the way. And you be able to really feed your muscles and feed the nitrogen while you're on these Europharmacies, testosterone, and DECA stacks. All right. So, anything you want to add to that before we move on to why DECA and testosterone works so well, or are you
Yeah,
starting to
listen,
answer?
guys, we're talking about bulking as a temporary thing. This is not you doing this all year round. I would argue, I probably fall into that parameter that Steve suggested as a quote unquote perma bulker, but I train specifically for strength. The reality is that you are building the foundation of size. And then when the summer comes around, when the warm parts of the year come around and it's time to strip off, you are polishing the physique. See, then you're going to work on your biceps peak. Then you're going to work on the outhead of the triceps. Then you're going to do 22 sets for arms and 14 sets for chest and all that kind of stuff. So this is a temporary situation. You shouldn't be bulking all year round. It's a time to get big, to add 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds of muscle, the way that we've talked about, the way even the older guys that Steve's just described are talking about. And then, as we talked about on other shows, then it's time to cut. Then it's time to polish. Then it's time to refine. And we'll cover that on shows we've done before and shows that no doubt we'll talk about in the future. Let's talk about now, Steve, as we said,
Yeah.
the options from Eurofarmer and how we'd run those options.
So let me touch on this a little bit. Eurofarma Deca, look, it's the long estered version of nandrolone. Let me give you some background. It was designed to be injected less frequently, which was great for guys who hate injecting. This is why I got so popular back during the bulking age, which was probably the late 80s into the 90s, mom. So I can remember when I first started getting going on forums. My goodness, if you weren't, at least there was rules. Hey, if you weren't at least 200 pounds natural, you shouldn't be using steroids. If you weren't eating at least 400 grams of protein, you shouldn't be using steroids. It was like there's so many rules. It was a bulking mentality when I first got into it. It's not like that now, but that's how it was back then in the 2000s and in the 90s especially. So a lot of guys you run into in the gym who are older folks, who are like your age, Mobster, or older even, they love the DECA. They love testosterone. They especially DECA, and this is why. Because the nice thing about DECA is that it's stripped down version of testosterone. They messed around with that 19 nor atom, right? They made it so it's less androgenic and less estrogenic than testosterone. So it's not going to aromatize. It's about a fourth or a fifth less than testosterone. And when it comes to the androgenic side effects that you get, it's not going to happen. It's also not going to give you DHT side effects like other steroids will. So it's not going to hammer your head hair like other steroids will in theory. Of course, if you're running lots of testosterone with it, that will change the game plan when it comes to all this stuff. But we'll get into that in a little bit. At the end of the day, because of the way DECA is set up, it's going to lead to an incredible amount of rise in appetite, an incredible amount. And you'll never be satiated. When I was using DECA, I'd get up in the morning, I'd eat, I'd go work out, I'd come home, I'd be hungry again, I'd eat again. So what I would do is I'd make two breakfasts. I'd eat my breakfast, go to the gym, and then when I get home, I'd reheat the breakfast that I just, it'd be, I'd make twice as much because I knew when I get home, I'd be hungry again. And I would eat, I would be very, very satiated throughout the day. If I'd go out to like a company dinner, one time I went to a company dinner, I had to order two plates of food. Everyone else was ordering one plate of food with leftovers. I had two plates of food. And, so this is what it does. This is what it does in your body. Another thing that it's going to do, even if you're not a big eater, it's going to make you want to eat more food. And then when you come off the steroid, your appetite is still going to be strong because that's such a long half-life. So the decanate ester has about a 15, 16-day half-life. Does that mean it's going to be in your system 15 or 16 days after you stop? No, it means it's going to be in your system 4 or 5 times longer than that. So we're talking 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. It's still going to be working your system. So even when you come off, you're going to notice you're still hungry, even 2 months after you stop taking it because of that reason. So you'll notice, hey, I'm still gaining. Why am I still gaining? I came off of this stuff 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I'm still gaining. Well, that's because it's still in your system. It's still doing, working its magic. So your pharma has great DECA. Another thing about DECA, which is really good for bulking and really any situation, is that the low post-injection pain. DECA is legendary when it comes to not giving you post-injection pain. It's also legendary because it comes in 200 milligram a milliliter. So you can literally take 2 cc's of the stuff and you're getting 400 milligrams a week, and it's a very smooth injection. It's not going to be a painful injection like some other steroids like Primo, for example, which a lot of people complain about the post-injection pain. So Monster, give us your opinion on DECA tests and why it's great for bulking.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Europharmacy's product, Steve, just to correct you, which is 250 milligrams a milliliter of their particular version of Decanate. Listen, Steve knows, and we've talked about this on other shows. I fucking love Deca, and what's with combination with Sustanon, I've talked about this before, Steve, the bulker of all bulkers. I would sit at 280, and over the course of 4 weeks, if I did an 8 week cycle, I'd go from 280 to 300 pounds. Yes, some of that was water. I wasn't trying to retain that size at that time. The appetite that Steve talked about, I was peaking for strength, just training for competitions. My appetite was exactly the same as Steve, but for some reason, I never had it first thing in the morning. I eat quite moderately in the mornings, but I've talked about before on other shows, and I'll repeat this. Sitting there, eating a meal, and what would normally happen is I would feel satiated from the meal that I'm eating. On Deca, in combination with SAS, I'm already thinking of the next meal. I'm already considering what I'm going to eat in an hour or so. What I'm going to eat then, that's going to taste them. I'm fucking literally putting food in my mouth and thinking about the next meal. So I'm kind of hungry for food I've not even had yet while I'm eating food, while I should be filling my stomach up, while I should feel satiated. So that's just how great it is. The other thing, which is kind of useful, I think, Steve, on a bulk. And that is the legendary again, but I would be careful here. I do put a little red flag up here for the benefit of the listeners. A lot of people, and especially older guys that Steve referred to earlier, do enjoy a certain level of more comfortable joints. That's from heavy training that might ache normally, ache less when they're using Deca. And I will say that's a bit of a red flag because it sometimes encourages people to hit the gym harder. Lift heavier weights. The problem being, of course, once it's out of your system, as Steve's just described, you're still going to have the same problem. It hasn't gone away. There's an argument which I see repeated again and again and again, and I've disputed this multiple times, that it fixes your joints. No, it does not. The science says thus that there is a small, but arguably significant, but a small increase in collagen synthesis, that's the connective tissue. It goes into your tendons, the fascia, etc. That's got some of that's made from collagen. A small increase in collagen synthesis while you are on, while it is in your system. That will dissipate when it's not. I don't think there's a retention of the new collagen that's been gained. So you go back to how you was. So you still need to be aware of wrapping or using sleeves or warming up properly and not pounding away on the joints because you're on Deca. On other shows, and I will encourage the listeners to go and listen to these other shows, we have also included on information on dealing with the potential for Deca Dick. All things being equal, Steve, as you know, as regular listeners know, Deca is one of my all-time favorite fucking injectables. So I absolutely echo every single thing that Steve said when it comes to using Deca. The combination here, that's the question. The combination is what kind of testosterone are we going to use? So back to you, Steve, for some first thoughts.
Yeah, and as Mobster mentioned, usually with DECA, it's 200 milligrams a milliliter over the years. That's the one I used years ago. But like Mobster said, your pharma has 250 milligrams a milliliter. That's awesome because that will cut down on the amount of injections you do. That makes it even better. So if you hate injecting, DECA is right up your alley. So, and there's several different effective ways that you can run a Urapharma, DECA, and testosterone option. A lot of people have different opinions. My view is you're running the DECA. Why don't you let the DECA shine? I'd run the DECA higher than the testosterone. A lot of people will come back and say, oh my God, you shouldn't run DECA more than testosterone. As Mobster said, you're going to get DECA dig. You're going to get DECA dig. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with DECA dig. Why do people get DECA dig? It's because there's an imbalance of DHT and dihydronandrolone. So when you use DECA, it metabolizes into DHN. It doesn't metabolize into DHT. It doesn't convert to estrogen. It doesn't, have androgenic properties. So if you're very sensitive to any of that, if you're a good reactor to DHT, if you're a good reactor to androgens, if you're a good reactor to estrogen, I could see why you might end up with Decadic. But here's an easy solution in most of the situations that you can experience is that you're talking about proviron, 25 milligrams a day added to this type of cycle. And I would always recommend adding a DHT when you're running DECA. So get the Urapharma proviron. They have a great proviron option. And you could run that proviron with the DECA. 50 milligrams, either is going to work fantastic. And you'll have a really, really good experience going that way. So the way I would probably plan it is go with anywhere from 250 up to 400 milligrams a week of DECA, run some testosterone with it, 150, 200 milligrams of testosterone, play around with the dose, but don't run so much of a high dose where now you have estrogenic problems because that defeats the purpose of running DECA in the first place. And then on top of that, go with the proviron, 25 to 50 milligrams. I can assure you 25 milligrams is ample. But if you want the extra benefits of proviron that it can provide, you could push up to 50 milligrams, or you could just rotate it. You could do 25 milligrams one day, 50 milligrams for a couple days, then 25 milligrams for a few. It's not going to make a difference. As long as you're getting at least 25 milligrams, you should be good. That's the way I would run it. How about you, Mobster? How would you run the stack?
In terms of the proviron, exactly what you just said, Steve. I'm just now looking at, and I can't find Sustan on the Europharmacy's website, but they have had it, and I know that the resellers are doing it. And again, so I'm thinking about the testosterone DECA ratios for me. Now, both their products, in terms of their testosterone enanthate, which would probably be my first choice at 250 milligrams, and their DECA, which is 250 milligrams, that's exactly the same. But I've always liked the ratio slightly differently here. So, given that there's no Sustanon option on their website, I would go for the enanthate, testosterone, and I'd run that slightly higher in the same way that I used to run the Sustanon, slightly higher. You're not looking at a huge difference. My favorite bulking cycle running the Sus and the Deca together was only around, I've always tried to remember this, but I need to look it up, somewhere between 765 and 865 milligrams total. I was injecting into one vial, 1 mil of each, and so that's 2 mils twice a week. But the ratios then were slightly different. One was 200, as Steve said, and one was 250. So I would do a little bit less DECA here and a little bit more testosterone, and just keep the ratio ever so slightly higher on testosterone. And again, both of these are relatively long esters, two injections per week. Always been a sweet spot. I have, and I did this earlier this year, run the Sustanon and DECA that I've got here. I took it up as high as 1.6 grams total over the week, Stephen. I saw no greater gains. That kind of level for me was as high as I've ever been. So 1.6 total. Didn't like how I felt on it. Didn't give me any greater gains. Didn't make me stronger in the gym. It was just an experiment to see that if I really needed to respond to higher amounts and get the kind of bulk that I used to back in the day, made no difference to me. I think I'm kind of too close to the biggest I'm going to get. There's not much left in in terms of my size and my strength. Arguably, I've peaked in certain things on strength. So I wasn't going to get much bigger. I wasn't getting much stronger. But if you're new to steroids, and especially if you're nowhere near your genetic maximum, you will still respond like I used to before. So I'm thinking again, those ratios, Steve. Because they're both dosed the same, it would be very easy to run them at the same dose. But I don't think that's the way to do it. What about you, Steve? And what about the other options? Would you, for example, use a shorter ester like testosterone propionate over one of the longer ones like cypionate or enanthate from your pharmacies?
No, because with DECA, you got to run the DECA, for at least 10, 12 weeks. Honestly, you got to run it, really at least 12 weeks, because if it's going to take a long time to peak in your system with that long half-life, you've got to give it, it just doesn't make sense to use testosterone propionate and waste needles. Might as well just use a long ester
Yeah,
testosterone with it.
I'm thinking thus, Steve, if we're trying to get cutting into shape, it makes sense to use shorter esters. Sometimes, and we see this, and I'll make a little bit of a suggestion here, and especially when it comes to your pharmacies and you getting acquiring their products. You've decided the bulk, guys, you've decided to use your pharmacies. That's the reason you're listening to the show. You know the quality product, you know their work, you know that we rate and recommend them. So this is a question of, it used to be a question of what you could get hold of versus the accessibility that we have in this day and age. So your choices for cutting, but you're not going to do bulk. You need to bulk for a certain particular, unless you've got a bet with the guys at the gym for $100 and you need to get big as a house as quickly as possible. I wouldn't be using shorter esters. I'd be using longer esters. And then, like Steve said, for me, especially when it comes to injectable cycles, my injectable cycles are nearly all 8 to 12 weeks. My oral cycles are nearly all 4 to 8 weeks. Steve talks about Dibol as a bulker in terms of something breaks, for example, especially when you're bulking, guys. Not a huge fan of kickstarting, but as an example, you could do the Sustanon Deca or the Testosterone Deca that we talked about and get things going very, very quickly. How quickly have I responded to good Dibol from a company like Europharmacies versus low-dosed or fake Dibol? I've told this story before. Given free Dianabol to help me while your products are coming, Steve. There you go. La la la. Thank you very much, says I. And runs this stuff for 10 days because I'd made the mistake of trying to get in shape, strength-wise for a competition, left it to the last minute. It's the one and only time I've done this. And I've got this free shit. And nothing happened. Meanwhile, my products that I've acquired have arrived in the post, Steve, and I started taking, I believe, 30 milligrams of Dibol, which is probably the bulk for me when it comes to orals. I started taking it on a Friday, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'd put on, I think, 4 fucking pounds in 4 fucking days, Steve. So listen, again, that would have been my early days of using PEDs. I would still be responding. I would be nowhere near my genetic maximum, nowhere near my genetic maximum for strength or size or shape or whatever. So my response then was absolutely fucking amazing. So again, for me, I would probably run that 2 to 4 weeks as a Kickstarter, Steve. I would absolutely expect to see, especially from early in trying to maximize size and strength, etc. I would expect to see 3, 4, 5 pounds very, very quickly. I've used Dibol on its own, Steve, and bulked the fuck up. 10 pounds in a 4 to 8 week cycle was perfectly normal, and that was 30 to 50 milligrams a day. But we're talking about here using testosterone and DECA. So for me here, perhaps just the first 2 weeks. What do you think on that, Steve, before we move on?
Yeah, I've done this stack, and I did Dianabol with it, and really, it was a lot of water retention. I mean, if you're gonna do something like that, you're gonna have insane appetite. The mood's gonna be fantastic too. It's another thing about DECA this is really nice versus other steroids is it puts you in a really good mood. And again, it's because of the way it's structured. It's testosterone. It's a diluted type of testosterone, so it puts you in a really, really good mood. You don't get the aggression that you would on testosterone, but you get a lot of the other
There's,
hormones.
I've just reminded, sorry, Steve, they've just remembered. And I won't even call this a negative. But you put on, when I've done the combinations that we've talked about, and I'm sure Steve's had the same experience, when we've blown the fuck up on a bulk, real quick, eating clean and training better, like we discussed, the size gain and the weight gain can sometimes be so goddamn quick. I lived in what we call a two up, two down. That's a small terraced house in Gloucester. Two bedrooms upstairs, two big rooms downstairs, bathroom, kitchen, etc. at the back.
Gloucester.
Yeah, Gloucester. In
Gloucester.
Gloucestershire. Gloucestershire, yeah. Not Gloucestershire or whatever the fuck the Americans sometimes say. Gloucestershire. And Gloucester's the main city, so a cathedral, big city. So the problem, I think it was like 20 steps from the ground floor to the first floor. And that would fucking save my cardio went to shit. You gain weight so goddamn quickly. 20 pounds in a few weeks is a lot of weight very, very quickly. And for me, and this is something else to remember for a bulk guys, if you gain weight quickly as I did, and even just 5 or 10 pounds of new muscle tissue would take me on average, I would say about 12 weeks for my whole body to get used to being heavier, to being more muscular than before. And listen, so I'll just use this simple analogy before we talk about your pharmacies itself and members' experiences. If I was your fairy godmother, guys, if I was the wizard and I could grant you a genie or something and I could grant you 3 wishes, and one of your wishes was to be instantly bigger or more muscular, you're not allowing sometimes for the how that weight sits on your frame. Your body, your stomach, your intestines, the way that you digest food needs to change. Your cardiovascular, you've trained heavy and you got real strong and big, but you haven't necessarily improved your cardiovascular ability. So what sometimes happens, 3 to 4 pounds, no problem. Once you get up to about 10 pounds, you will notice this. You're literally carrying around 10 pounds more weight than you did just a few weeks ago. And that's great. Big chest, big arms, filling out your sweaters, filling out your shirts, filling out your pants, looking fucking the size of a house. It's amazing. But it takes 12 weeks. I would notice it, Steve. It might be a small increase in my blood pressure. It might just be my cardiovascular ability. It might even just be walking around and notice how I walk and pivot, and how my lats feel against my arms and stuff like that. And eventually, over time, you get used to it. You get cut, you get into shape, you train for a competition, and then maybe you bulk again the next year and you add on some more size. But yeah, super size gained very, very quickly. And some of you will have this kind of experience doing what we talked about today. It will take a little tiny few weeks just for your body to accommodate the new size. Something stupid, Stephen. I've got there'll be maybe 1% of our listeners that might experience this bumping into doorways, not being able to fit. Steve, I can barely get into normal fucking cars now. I literally have to squeeze myself, start putting toothpaste back into the tube, getting into normal people's cars, big cars, SUVs. I'm fine. Don't forget, guys, and Europharmacies has you covered here as well. All the ancillaries that you're going to need on cycle, your aromatase inhibitors, the Provarin, like we've discussed earlier on, and any other options that you might require, Europharmacies is everything you need. I want to touch a little bit on Steve, and I know that you know some of the people I'm talking about. On our forums, and we invite you to come and look at the forums and talk about bulking, and especially using Europharmacies products, we've got several members, myself included to some degree, who pretty much exclusively use Europharmacy products. I'm thinking of Roid Rage and his wife, Phil, who's a big time Europharmacies fan, and a few others. And one of the things I say when it comes to approved sources, including Europharmacies, you come over to the forums, you can literally just put Europharmacies into the search. Some of the things that's going to come up in that search will be the logs telling you. The people whose names I've just mentioned, myself included, Steve as well, have used or are still using Europharmacy's products. And just as an example, Mrs. Roid Rage is hitting PRs on the regular. There's been weeks where she's had 3 PRs in a session, Steve. Even now, and I believe both her and Mr. Roid Rage are getting down in body weight because they're competing in body weight classes in a powerlifting competition, I believe this month, next few days, actually. Sometime in the next 5 to 10 days. He's looking for a 6 or is it a close to 700 pound deadlift. She's looking for a 1,000 pound total. They're both getting into very lean, probably arguably the leanest they've been on the forums for many, many years. And they pretty much exclusively use Europharmacy's products. Phil, by way of example, and these are people you can look up, listeners, and see for yourself. Phil is in shape, all year round. I believe he's South American, might be Brazilian or some Rio de Janeiro, whatever the fuck. In shape, broad-shouldered, eats amongst other things horse meat and great fish. You'll see him cooking up great meals. We talked about meal prep earlier on. This man is in shape all year round. Mr. and Mrs. Woodrage were a little bit out of shape, but they are competing in a weight class. She's probably as muscular as she's ever been. He's as strong as he's ever been. They're hitting PRs all the time. My own personal experience, Steve, has been absolutely fucking amazing from day one. I have used other brands. We discuss other brands, but my go-to on the regular, pretty much most days of the week, would be Europharmacies. And why is that, Steve? Why is it that we like Europharmacies products?
Well, the good thing about Europharmacies is they have so many different options and they have everything you're going to need. So it's like a one-stop shop. So just a reminder, just come on the forum, evolutionary.org. And a lot of people want to ask us on social media. I got messages, where can we get Europharma? Where can we get this? Where can we get that? You guys got to come on the forum. We can't tell you on these platforms, obviously, because they have, it's instant moderation. If you say anything, it's just going to get deleted right away. So you want to make sure you come on the forum and you check out where to get your pharmacies, and they are one of the top brands. And look, it doesn't matter whether it's your first cycle, whether you're a professional bodybuilder, or anywhere in between, your pharmacist is used. They've been around a long time. Their products have been anonymously tested
Yeah.
by different people over the years, sent off and got tested, and have come on. All the brands that we talk about on our podcast, we wouldn't be talking about them if we didn't use them and if we didn't trust them. It's very, very important that we support the top brands and we make sure that we're using the top brands
Yeah.
so that they can retain their
We
customers and stay
want
there.
you listeners to get the best results. We want you to look. Brief history lesson is there have been good companies and bad companies, good labs that have gone bad, products that were properly dosed that become underdosed, and so on and so forth. And the reputation of those companies was great, and then it wasn't. Companies that have come and gone and taken people's money, so that selectively scammed you, and so on and so forth. So when we talk about approved sources like your pharmacies, we want trusted brands, tested, like Steve said, repeatedly, in-house. They are one of the few companies that regularly post that you can check these lab test results yourself. They use one of the big name lab companies that has a specific unique code for each test, and you don't have to trust that this is some sort of Photoshop test. You can take that number and you go to the lab testing company online and you put that number in, and the same lab test will come up on the screen in front of you. This is what we tested. This is what the results were. That's it. That's what's called in-house testing by the lab themselves, by the Europharmacies. You have sent off to a lab, which is what I just described, and then independently, like by users on the forum who have out of their own pocket paid for these things. Companies like Europharmacies have been around. Euros has been around. I think it's over 20 years now, Steve. You do not get to last in any industry. I don't care what you're fucking selling, but especially when it comes to steroids, you don't get to last in an industry as competitive as the steroid market, as cutthroat, arguably, as it used to be, Steve. It's not like that anymore, without being tried, tested, and trusted. You don't get to last that long. You don't get One of the things I talk about when we talk about coming on the forums, I challenge people sometimes, go on other forums. We don't want you to go there really, but go to one different forum, Steve, and put your own pharmacies in there, and you'll see what I call forum-wide approval. Lots of forums have got different sponsors and different labs that they support and who support them and so on and so forth. But what you have is broad approval going across multiple forums because multiple people have used their products and they've got nothing bad to say about it. We have one of the things I love, and we do have some absolutely great reps of what I call brand ambassadors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the best, we've actually had him on one of these shows back in the day, Steve. I'd like to get him on again in the future. One of the best company reps, literally being like a brand ambassador rep, call it whatever the fuck you like, for Europharmacies, for one of their brand resellers. And he's probably one of the best in the industry. So that's the kind of stuff that's like the company themselves fucking amazing. You can see pictures, I've seen photographs and video clips of the lab premises and the equipment that they've had. And tens of, I mean, just as an example, Steve, and I know this off the top of my head before we finish the show, the scales that companies like Europharmacies use to measure the powders are, I think it's like secondhand used is $25,000. I believe new is something stupid like $100,000 for the fucking accuracy of the scales they're using to measure the milligrams of the raw products, raw testosterones, the raw product that go in your pills. And that's the kind of money that companies like Europharmacies have invested to give you great products. And just as an example of how tried and tested they are, I've told this story before about they pretty much manufacture 90, 95% of their own products. I think it's close to 100% right now. And on one or two occasions, they got a they subcontracted, they put the work out to another lab. And to begin with, those products were fucking amazing. And then very quickly that quality fell off. And that was on a, I believe, on a Thursday, they discovered that this was happening. On the Friday, they let all the customers that had bought that product know that this product had fallen off, the quality had fallen off, the numbers weren't right. By Monday morning, every single customer had been contacted that had used that batch of products and offered a refund or replacement on your next order. So the moment they made one mistake, and it wasn't even in-house, it was subcontracted out, they were on it. And that's how you build up the trust. That's how you get people to recommend your company. And like I said, look, at the end of the day, what do we want? We want good, clean, working products that, in this case, are going to bulk us the fuck up, make us as strong as fucking possible, make us as big as a house, and get us the results that we're looking for. Let us know what you think about the show today, guys. Give us some bulking tips. Come onto the forums, post in the comments. What's your favorite version? How would you run DECA and the testosterone options that we discussed? Did we miss anything out that you thought we should have included? Let us know. Please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.